Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are not going to just do things. We expect things to happen. We expect wonderful things to happen. We expect even people who are not around, handkerchiefs and things like that. So that we don't get into religion every month we are doing Holy Communion and there are no results. Praise the Lord. But it's not just healing, by the way. Holy Communion, as I told you the other time, there are so many things attached to it. Opening of your eyes. Remember the Jesus on the road to Emmaus with his disciples, and they walked and they didn't recognize him. And as soon as the scripture says, as soon as they broke bread, their eyes opened. Now, of course, the breaking of bread is, first was done different at that time, because even when people would be eating, they would make it into a Holy Communion thing. So as soon as they broke bread, their eyes opened. And remember last time, the other time I told you also that when they had Holy Communion, the first one, and on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, and he was sitting with his disciples, and the scripture says as soon as Judas got the Holy Communion, Satan entered him. And Jesus told him, whatever you're doing, do it very fast. Now, there's something about also revealing things, things which are in people's minds and what. So today, I want us to expect that certain things are going to, and even quickening, as I told you last time, because Jesus said, whatever is in your heart to do, do it very fast. Now, of course, we all know we need a quickening, amen? We need something to happen that perhaps we have been doing for a while, and we need for it to happen quicker than it has been happening. Now, we can believe God for that as well in this Holy Communion service. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, start from verse 14. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Now, of course, now when people like you, you read something like this and say, why are you talking to us about wicked? Now, wicked is not, like, he's not talking about people who are murderers. Okay? It says, not walk in the path of the wicked and not walk in the way of evil. Because the one thing I've seen a lot of is people not being careful about which path they take. And they seem to have not known that every path leads somewhere. So you step on a certain path, it is leading you somewhere. Somewhere good, somewhere bad, somewhere indifferent, somewhere or nowhere, really, which is not where you want to be. But every path leads somewhere. And now there is a path which the scripture talks of in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, blessed is the man who sits not in the seat of the scornful or walks with the, whatever. He says, whatever he does, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Okay? Now this is, you see, now there it says the path of the wicked. But here it says the path of sinners. And I don't know, you might want to interpret it whichever way you want. It says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay? Verse 2. Or of the scorners, or the people who scorn. Okay? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Go to verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, here I'm telling you about manifesting the things that you want to see in life. The simplest way of making things happen and manifesting things that you want to see in life. And, of course, because maybe you watch sometimes so many people, you see somebody who is on a certain path, and you see they are going someplace. Then they get somewhere, and you know it for a fact that they got onto a path of the wicked. Or a path which is going nowhere. And you just know that somebody came perhaps and talked to them into a place and what. And then they got off track, and then that was the end of them. And then they start becoming wishful thinkers. Eh? They think certain things are going to happen just because they stay in certain places, and then those things don't happen for them. And then those things might happen for other people around them. And then they start becoming very bitter. Okay? Now, I've walked that path. After spending a lot of time in useless churches, when I found a place where I knew that this is a place where I could pursue, now I made up my mind that I was going to pursue certain things. I made up my mind that I'm going to pursue certain things and I'm going to see them no matter what. And it is a very deliberate decision, but living up to it is tough because there will be so many distractions. You remember that book called The Pilgrim's Progress, eh? Of the man who was going to, and there are so many distractions here and there. Now, that's how we really are, by the way. That book was written, I think, by 16th century believer and so on. Now, here it says that, God, verse 1 here of Psalms 1, he says, he does not stand, he does not walk, he does not sit. Who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And then at the end he says, he's like a tree planted by the waters. Whatever he does will prosper. And he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it he meditates day and night. Now, of course, the reality is that the contemporary world in which we live, people don't have the discipline to keep themselves in a certain place. The scripture says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, it does not talk about he who visits. It talks about he who dwells. Now, you can visit and everybody visits, but you can choose to dwell and you'll be there and that is your place. And then that affects your life completely. There's something I said on radio one time, and sometimes you're on radio and you say things. Eh? And so I said that I was talking about the metaverse. You know that thing which they are planning, where you apparently upload your consciousness and you put on these big glasses, VR glasses they are called, and you go into that place and you get lost in the metaverse. And in the metaverse, you can be a billionaire yet here. What? You're not. You're broke. Eh? So it creates an alternative world that makes people want to escape from the reality of here. That was the plan. Of course, it didn't take off because it was fake. Eh? But everything Zuckerberg does, it's fake now. But anyway, but that was the plan. Where you go there and you access things. So you have the feeling of being a billionaire when you're there. But you're just those glasses away from being poor and hungry. But when you put those glasses on, you actually have the feeling of being a billionaire and so on. And I also told you that there was somebody who was complaining. At the time when they were trying to promote it a lot, I think they gave up on it. A lady was complaining that she was raped on the metaverse. Now, of course, when she went on the metaverse, she met somebody who was also on the metaverse and something, but nothing happened. She's at home in her glasses. Nothing physical happened. You see, eh? But then the danger of it is you actually have all the emotions of somebody who was actually raped. Yet nobody touched you. You understand? So you have all the shame, all the emotions, all the feelings of somebody who was actually raped. So you come out of there and you're behaving in a certain way, and you say you were not. You were at home with your glasses. Now, I was saying that time that you see, also, we can have a metaverse of the scriptures. The only difference is that when you cover yourself in this, eventually it manifests in your life. If you cover yourself with a revelation that you want to see, that you're interested in seeing, let's say, a revelation of living in abundance, and then there are conditions. First of all, you start by reading about it. Then you read about it. Then you read about it. Then you listen to it. You listen to it. Listen. Now, of course, the truth is, You're not going to listen to a message once and it transforms your life. That's not how it works. Because it's pulling you from somewhere where you have not been. Okay? It's pulling you from a certain place where you have not been. So you are not going to listen to it once and it affects your life. So sometimes you have to listen to it over and over and over again. The same message. Now you think that I'll get bored. Now, here is the point. When your mind is getting extremely bored of the message, that's when it is now beginning to seep into your heart where it matters. You have to first bore your mind to death. Have you ever listened to the same message for 3 months over and over again every day? Every time, every day. Now, that's when, now you say that, I'm tired of this thing. You can almost preach it from end to end. You know where a joke was made, you know where this, and you think you know it. Now, that's your mind which knows. But your heart has not yet received. Now, when your mind is completely bored of that message, thoroughly bored of it, that's when now it's beginning to get into your heart. And now that's where you're entering the metaverse of that message. If it's of abundance, you will actually start feeling like you already have an abundance, yet you still have nothing. Now it starts affecting your emotions. Now the interesting thing is, I said that thing, these things on radio, and my wife was listening, so she wrote it down and went and put it in the bathroom. And then put those words, if you know, if you surround yourself with this revelation and what, then put the watchman, Joseph Kablete. So when I went to bathe, I said, did I say this? He said, yeah. I said, yes. Am I the one who said this? She said, yes, you're the one who said it. Anyway, the point is, now when you saturate your mind with it completely. Now you see, the mind wants new things all the time. You listen to a song once, twice, three times, you want a new one, isn't it? Yeah. You listen to something once, you want a new one. That's how the mind operates. If you watch a movie once, you don't want to watch it again. Or at least if you watch it again, you don't want to watch it again. You see, eh? Because the mind already is telling you, but that's a movie. It's different from the word of God. Because the movie is purposes of entertainment, I would think. But now the word of God, it has to come from your mind and seep down into your heart. Now, by the time it seeps down into your heart, your mind is so bored. So bored of it, you could almost throw up listening to the message. Now that's when it's beginning to have an impact. Otherwise, you'll just know it in your head. And there is nothing that happens in the head. Absolutely nothing that happens in the head. Now, how do you start knowing that it has seeped into the heart? When you start getting the emotions. Like, you know that lady who was raped on the metaverse? You start getting the emotions of being a billionaire, yet you don't even have 100k on your account. But you're beginning to have certain emotions about it. Now, there you know now it is really going in a certain place. Now, when that happens and it starts affecting your emotions, you just know that it's a matter of time, unless you stop suddenly. But it is just a matter of time before you get there. Praise the Lord. Now, this is something that I have said before, and this is something that you have to... Maybe now I should bore you until you get it. And I actually heard some man saying that what? A pastor. Saying that when you're preaching a specific message, when the congregation is bored of it, that's when they are beginning to learn it. Beginning. Not that's when they have learned it. That's when they are beginning to learn it. So you have to get past the lugezigezi of the mind. I've heard that. Yeah, that one's new. You know, the mind wants hits every time. Every day there has got to be another hit. Now there is this hit, then you listen to it, then after 2 or 3 times, you're bored of it. Then you are looking out for another one. Now that's how the mind operates. But the mind, as I said, takes you nowhere. Praise the Lord. Now here it says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, at the heart of whatever he does shall prosper, is the fact that the word of God is so deeply inside him that the reality is living is not the earthly reality, it's the godly reality. And you cannot transform your reality from earth to heaven by just reading the scripture once, you know. And it's easier to listen now, of course, than to read. Listening is much easier. For instance, you can put it, play it, something in your house and keep it playing, keep it playing. Now, I'm giving you the easy things, because if I give you difficult things, you'll not do them. If I say, go and meditate, you're not going to do anything. But at least you have some sort of cassette player or whatever. Now, you see, some player. Now, you just keep it running, and listening to it. And don't let your mind convince you that now you know everything. You don't do it in your head. When you can preach the whole message from beginning to end, okay? Now, I'm telling you, some of you, if you even went and got my messages on finance, which I preached a long time ago, and you listen to them in 1 month, your life would have changed. I'm telling you. But then, of course, you will not listen to it 1 month, because after one listening, you will be bored. But if you want entertainment, go and watch movies. Eh? But if you want something that is going to transform your life, I'm telling you what it is and how it is going to be like. Because then, at the heart of all of this, that's why it says, Jesus said, that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Whatever you desire. Now, because when you have the words inside, it is so easy for you to believe for certain things. So you ask for something and you know it's going to happen. Now, when it is at a distance, and there is what I call truth at a distance, you know, truth as a distance, very, 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 very deceptive. Because you think you know it, but you don't know anything. So it's at a distance. And it's truth. You're not arguing with it. There are some people who argue, but for you, you're not. But it is somewhere, far. Now you have to do a lot of work to bring it near. Now, every time you listen to something over and over again, I am telling you, faith comes. Faith for that abundance comes. And you start actually believing that you're going to be in abundance. Now, some of you, if I asked you, you'd say, yeah, amen, but you really don't believe. You don't believe that tomorrow you're going to be in abundance. You don't. Why is that? Because you've not brought it close to you. Now, when you start hearing it over and over again, it starts building something inside you. And faith comes by doing what? And what? It doesn't say hearing once. It says it comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Okay, I added those. But you understand. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Now, because if you hear it once, it's not going to come. It has to come hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And then eventually you get to a place where it's easy for you to believe. Because you've heard it over and over again. And it's so easy for you to believe. And even when somebody says something, you say, yeah, I know that is true. And you expect it. You're in a place of expectancy because you have exposed yourself to something that is. And now there, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, you see, the thing is abide. Not my words come into you once a week when you open your Bible and then, or when you come here and read them on the screen and then go away. But my words abide in you. Now, of course, if I told you to read, you might struggle. But it's easier to listen, as I said. Because you have your headphones and so on and whatever. And listening, by the way, hearing is powerful. Okay? Although, reading is also good, but hearing is better. Now, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, imagine such a promise. Anything you desire and it is done for you. Whatever you desire, you just ask and it is done for you. But now you see the condition if you abide in me and my words abide in you. My words abide in you. Don't visit. They don't visit. They abide. Praise the Lord. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Now it says, "Not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil." Now the path of the wicked, there are people who are experts. And they are in every church, every congregation, every place. And their expertise is in taking people off focus, taking people away from focus. And they are so easy. And there are people who are very easily talked away from something they believe. Very easily talked away. Somebody comes, stirs you up in a certain way, and in a short time you've gone off completely. And the thing is, because of course, you know, sometimes, because maybe this ministry is, not that big, I look at people and say, this one is got off course a long time ago. And I know the person came when they were on course and I could see they were on a trajectory towards whatever they do will prosper. But somewhere along the way, something happens. And it's usually some words spoken to them. And then they get off the path of the path of success, and then they join another path. And then they stay there. And then that path leads nowhere. And yet, I'm telling you, let me tell you people, we don't have time. We are living in the last days. Amen? God does not have time either. You know what I mean? As in, he's in a hurry to get us to a certain place. Now, if we actually were serious about getting to a certain place, and we do not take things lightly, because I'm telling you that everything that somebody is going to get is going to come through a determination to get it. A determination to get it. Praise the Lord. It does not come through casual. Something casual. Like casual, if you're casual about these things, you will not get anything whatsoever. There has to be a determination. I remember one time when the biggest need in my life was finances because of the state that I was in. So I determined in my mind that I'm going to live a certain way. And I'm not going to get, because I knew there was a way. Okay? I knew there was a way. And I had somebody in front of me whom I could look at and say that, now this one, Prophet Elvis, I see how he does his things. And I said inside me, I am going to live like him. Like it was a determination personal inside me. I'm not going to kuyia, I'm not going to do what. Nobody can say here that I kuyia them for money. Impossible, I cannot. It's not possible. And yet I have it. Praise the Lord. Because I determined that I am going to. Now, it is not casual. I don't just desire it and want it. No, I determined I am going to get it. Now, it's going from level to level. The level you are seeing me at, you'll never see me here again. Amen? Because I'm going where? Higher. Praise the Lord. Now, I determined. Now, I remember one day, I was with somebody. And we were going somewhere and we were doing certain things. So, he told me that we don't have money for this. So I told him, don't worry, we'll get the money very soon. He said, but we need it urgently. I said, no, don't worry, we are going to get it urgently. Then while we were still there, we got the money immediately. And then it happened again and again. Then that guy told me, I'm telling you his words, not mine. Disclaimer. He told me that you're the only one I know who lives like Prophet Elvis. Because you would see we need 50 million. I don't have it. I don't even have 1 million. But in 2 hours, I have 50 million. He would see it. And used to be with me everywhere. And he knew it. And I didn't get there by just wishing. Praise the Lord. I didn't get there by what? Wishing. No. I got there by determining that I am going to be like that. Come what may, I'm tired of being broke. Praise the Lord. Now, can you have such a determination? Or are you going to have it for 3 days and you forget about it? And that project we are doing was taking a lot of money and would go and we don't have it and then it comes. We don't have it and then it comes. And then that's how it is. That's how it was. Then it comes, then it comes, then it comes. Praise the Lord. Whatever amount we needed, I just gave an example of 50 million, but whatever amount we needed came. Sometimes it was just even 1 million and it came. Other times it was more than 50 million and it came. Praise the Lord. Now, the reality is that I have had people who want to, I was talking to somebody who, I was telling him about some old friend of mine who used to stay somewhere, and he came and asked me to help him with some money. Now, this person believes you can't give money to beggars because you reap what they have. He believes you can't give money to certain people because you reap what they have. And at a certain very, very, very low stage, that is true. At a very, very low stage, that is true. So I told him that this guy, he has stagnated for the last 25 years. I've known him. Then he came to me for money. Then he said, ha, how did you come out of that trap? I said, no, I didn't come out. I gave him the money. Then I said, it cannot affect me. I'm past that. Now, if you're at the stage where you give bigger and you also become a bigger, then your thing has not developed. But then there was a time that was true. There was a time I had to watch everybody I give even a coin. I could not give anybody a coin unless I felt led. Because I would give and the next thing you go like 3 weeks broke. But I was learning, praise the Lord. And I was growing in that area. Amen? But now I went, I can't fail to give, like, you know, there are people who might know this one is it's wasted, but you give anyway. Praise the Lord, because it's not going to affect you. You are above and not beneath. You see. Now, but you see, when you're developing these things, and I've told you this, that when you're developing these things, there was this guy whom I gave money. He came to me and told me he has nowhere to sleep and what. And now he was also somebody I knew from way back, but he had stagnated very badly. Stagnated very, very badly. And he used to be a preacher, but now he had become something totally different. So he came to me and said that, you know, he was sleeping at this somewhere in Katwe at the roadside. And he said that police came and wanted to take him, and they were going to take him to Uzira. So I was like, man, what's wrong? So I told him, why don't you find a place to sleep? He said he can find a place to sleep. This is what he told me. 400,000 a month. Now, when he told me that 100,000 is, I could comfortably spend it when I go somewhere to sit down and have coffee and what. So in my mind, I thought that, how can I be so callous to let this guy live like this? Yet I can just give him this money and he finds a place to sleep. So I told him, I'm going to give you 300,000. So I gave him 150,000. I said, start with that one, find a place. I'm going to give you the other 150,000. Then something happened. They came and vandalized my car. As soon as I gave him the money, they came and vandalized my car in a place where I used to park it every day and nobody ever touched it. Actually, they did it during the day. And I used to park there even through, not just I, all the people in the estate used to park there throughout the night and nothing would happen. But I parked there during the day. There were even kids playing, but somehow they came and vandalized my car. When there were even children around playing. Then I came and said, what happened? They said, hey, we saw a man coming. And then I knew this is spiritual. So when he called me, I told him, you know what? That man I gave you is the last you'll ever get from me. You'll ever get from me. Of course, if he found me now, I could give him and it would not affect me. But that time, I was still building my car thing. Amen? I told him, he called me and said, once for me, I said, let me tell you, like, that is the last time I'm ever going to ever give you any money whatsoever. Because you see, people harden their hearts. And I knew what had happened to that person. And some of those things happen even to people among us here. The man became very bitter about other people. They become very bitter, very malicious, hardened their heart. What now, when you give somebody money, you're giving to their heart. If their heart is like that, they can bring you down. So sometimes it's not good to what? This over generosity of, you know, you go places and give and give and give, you know? I know pastors who can send you to the village right now. I know some of them. You dare give him money, they will fire you from your job in 2 weeks. You'll end up in the village. Their hearts are so hard. Like, and I know, you look at the man and you see, they are stingy. They are hard-hearted. They are pastors. But now they will come and say, they just said, you go and give money there, you'll see. You'll wonder what hit you. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so now he says, not enter the path of the wicked. That's even another way you can enter the path of the wicked. Somebody is there with his hard heart. Now like that man, he's very bitter. Meow, and gotten over all those things, by the way. I had gotten rid of any sort of ill will towards anybody, malice, what for, nothing. My heart was pure. That was the first thing I did. That's something that some of you have to do. My heart was absolutely pure towards everybody. And so I was building my thing. Because you see, some people think they can circumvent certain scriptures. So you think that you are going to have faith to achieve anything when you have certain characteristics in your heart. You're lying yourself. You're lying yourself. You go to Mark 11:23. Let's read the answer. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Go ahead. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. It actually says in the King James, whatever things you desire. Big decision. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I wish it would stop there, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, go to the next part. verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven might forgive you also. Your faith is not going to work until you forgive. I'm telling you, you're lying yourself. These words were spoken by Jesus. There's some people who don't want to forgive. And he stipulated it very clear. Unless you forgive, he will also not forgive you. And the basis of everything we ask is on this. That we are forgiven. And we are forgiven every day because we miss it here and there every day. Now he says, if you are stand to pray and you have anything against anybody, forgive them. Now, that's just one of the things that cloud people's hearts. And then they can't receive. And then they start wondering why other people are moving on. Like, let me tell you people, there are so many ways you can get on the path of the wicked. One of them is like that me giving that guy money. I entered his path. And now if I'd insisted on giving him the rest of the money, I think this time I would even find when they have stolen the entire car. It was spiritual. It was spiritual. There is no way they could have stolen. Where kids are playing there and some people come and vandalize the car and kids are playing, running around, what? And I was like, anyway. So he says, not enter the path of the wicked and not walk in the way of evil. Now, evil can be unforgiveness, can be malice, can be trying to bring somebody down, can be any form of ill will. If you really want to walk with God and see the blessings of God, get those things out of your mind, of your heart. I'm telling you, get all those things out of what? Your heart. All of them. Some of them, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get them out of your heart. I'm telling you. But you can do it. Amen? Now, if you really are interested in walking with God, of course, some of you are not really. But if you really are interested in walking with God, for instance, I told you there was a time I had a serious problem with anger. I would get angry and say so many things and say things. And the things you say in anger are not wiped away just because you are no longer angry. Especially if you say them to a woman. Women are sensitive to words. My God. Men, you can say so many things and get away with it. But you try that with a woman. Now you try that with your wife, you'll see. Very, very sensitive to words. You have to watch your words carefully. People who are married know what I'm talking about. Eh? Because all those things will be used against you in the courts of law. Now, the trouble is, you cannot really control your words when you're angry. Eh? So you end up saying things you are not supposed to say, and which you even don't mean, and which you are going to regret, but you've said them. And they have come out, and they are not good at all, and they are hurting. So now, as I was telling people here, one day, I was at Oasis Mall. So I went and some security guy annoyed me. Now, you've heard of those guys who security people shoot down. That could have been me because I blasted the man. I said very, very bad things. Now, and you know the thing is that at that moment, there's something which takes you over. Okay? And you... So now when I finished my tirade, I just turned away like this. I drove inside and went to park. As soon as I parked, the Lord told me, now look at you. Eh? Now the places I'm taking you, imagine if you came and did that when I've elevated you to certain places. And there's a way he says it, and I felt so small and so bad. And I said, and yet I knew within me that unless the Lord helped me, I would continue being like that. So I said, Lord, help me to not get angry. And that is one of the most powerful prayers is, Lord, help me. Because the Spirit of God is just waiting there now. As soon as I prayed that prayer, I said, help me and I don't get angry. Now, when I would go someplace and something happens and I'm about to get angry, before I start, when the temperature is rising, I hear the Spirit saying, there you go again. And it was so clear. He would say, there you go again. So I would just keep quiet and what? And obey. And then, sometimes you obey, but your mouth is... But you really don't want to say something. But you want to say it, but somehow you say, let me obey God. Then it keeps on telling you, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. Before you do it, then eventually I started obeying and the obedience became simpler. Much simpler. So then for some reason, the things for which I wanted to get angry became less and less and less and less and less until there was nothing for me to be angry about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I dare you to anger me. Eh? Some of you are sent to anger me, but you what? And I mean that. Eh? There are people who are... Man, the things we encounter here, by the way, I wish people would... The things we encounter in this thing here, people who betray you, who do what, and you just have to get it off your head. There's some guy who came and messed us up the other day. I don't want to say much because... He messed us up, I mean us as a ministry, so badly. And yet you don't have the luxury of even thinking bad towards him. Because you know that he's going to cut short your blessing. So, can you imagine this person did this and this and this and this and so what are you going to do? Nothing. But how can they do that? Yeah, it's okay, nothing. Nothing. Because the minute I go down that road, I know where it ends. Now, I'm saying this for the benefit of some of you. Okay? Now, the minute I go down that road, I know where it is going. It does not go in a good place. So, you just choose not to go down there. Somebody hurts you, he injures you, does what? Just let it go. Let it pass. Praise the Lord. Now, you enter into the what? The path of the wicked. The wicked are all these things. Then you go to the next verse. And then it says, avoid it, do not travel on it. That is that path. Turn away from it and pass on. Now, turn away from offense, turn away from anger, turn away from bitterness, turn away from malice, turn away from unforgiveness. Just turn away from it. And you think this is light. It is so important that Jesus said, unless you forgive, you will not forgive. Simple. He even gave a parable of a man who owed his master a lot of things. And he called him and said, I'm taking you to become a slave. Then he fell down and said, forgive me. Then the master says, okay, had compassion on him and forgave him. Then the servant went outside and found somebody who also owed him something. And for him, he said, we are taking you to prison. And he took him to prison. And he says, the master called and said, I had pity on you and forgave you much. How is it that you could not forgive your fellow servant less? Then he says, also, you go and you will pay all the fullness of the price. And you will not leave prison until you've paid all of it. Now, this thing is so important. So important. It is the first step. Just learn anything that just forgive. Let it pass. It might not be easy. But you know what? You do ask God to help you like I did with my anger. God, help me to forgive. There's some people who can mess you up. And you need to go and ask for help. God, help me to forgive this person. There's one who God led me to go and give him money. After he had messed me up thoroughly. As part of the forgiving process. Because I know he could use money. But he messed me up. And he really messed me up. And it was really beginning to get to me. So I, first of all, got it over. Then afterwards, I have something for you here. They go, yeah, man, thank you very much. What? I said, okay. But after that, I felt, that's how important it is. Praise the Lord. Anyway, but I'll go back to our scripture. Avoid it. Do not travel on that, on it, on the path of the wicked. Turn away from it and pass on. Go to verse 16. It says, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they have made someone fall. Do you know such people? Who want to make people fall? Who are there to tell them something about yourself that is good, and you will see. You come and tell them that I bought a very good car. You'll see. You will hear stories. And let people like that, let me tell you something. With such malice, bad. You have to start there. That's the truth. You cannot be happy for anybody. You celebrate evil. And I know there's somebody who I knew was like that. Every bad thing is he would celebrate, he would even ask for pork. When he hears that something bad happened to somebody. And I would look at him and say, what's your problem? And like, it is so a part of them that when something bad happens to somebody, they said, hey, are you sure? Now, there's a time when a rumor came that somebody had lost his job. Eh? And now they don't verify because bad news is too good to be what? Verified. So they will just receive. Eh? As soon as they hear bad news, they say, I receive. So they said, hey, what are you sure? What? Now, the person they are saying is their friend and they have his phone number. I said, but is it true? He said, yeah, I heard what. None of them even bothers to call him. So the guy later comes and joins. And then they said, hey, man, what happened? What? Say, what do you mean what happened? We told you you lost your job. No, I didn't lose my job. Who told you I lost my job? No, I'm actually coming from work. Then the guys were so disappointed, man. Like, what kind of people are those? Now, the trouble is those people are in the church. Some of them are in the church. You're disappointed because somebody did not lose his job. It's not that you even wanted the job. If you wanted it, that's different. But you don't want it. You're not even in that profession. But you just want some bad news to keep you going. What kind of human being are you? Praise the Lord. You see, now sometimes we have to take you to basic things so that you understand that there is a path to progress. When I determined that I wanted to, walk in abundance, those are the first thing, all those things, what mad, unforgiving. Like, I wish everybody well, even those who don't wish me well. I am not, like, anyway. So, they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Unless there is some bad news that they are celebrating. Okay. Go ahead, verse 17. It says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Go on, verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Now, the other one is the path of wickedness. The path of the just starts out not knowing what your purpose in life is. Or you start off having a picture of your purpose which is not so clear. Like it says, like using the metaphor of the sun, of where it starts slowly, dawn and what, until midday, it's very bright. Now that's what he says. The path of the just is like that. That you start out not absolutely sure about what you're supposed to do. But you start somewhere. Okay? And then, because you're just, your path becomes clearer and clearer every day. And you start seeing exactly what you're supposed to do. And you start becoming acquainted with it as you go along. Okay? And now your path becomes very clear like the midday sun. Because you have not, you avoided the path of the wicked. Praise the Lord. Now this is this is such a wonderful thing because nobody starts out knowing the end from the beginning. Eh? God might give you a glimpse of the end, of what you're supposed to do at the end. But he will just give you a glimpse. It is never going to be here after this, and after this, after this, after this, after this. Because if he did that, you would not be walking in faith. And he wants you to walk in faith. So you will start slowly with a bit of darkness. Now let me tell you, anybody who has determined what their purpose in life is, not their source of income. That's different. What their purpose in life is and what they are here to do is like in the 5%, perhaps even 3% of human beings on earth. Most people just want to earn a living, have children, raise them. But for some people, that might be their purpose. But many people, it is not. But now, if you actually know your path, and you are beginning to see it brighter, the way the sun comes out, it becomes brighter and brighter. Once you are sure about what your path is, I would say like you are like in the top maximum 5%, but probably even like 3% of the people on this earth. Because many people are just walking around looking for anything to earn a living. So somebody comes and tells them, I remember I was talking to some guy when I was beginning to understand the thing of purpose. So some guy who is my friend. So he starts telling me, what? I'm going to do this. I say, hey, okay. He says, why can't you come and join me? This thing has money and what? I said, no, you go and do it. He says, no, there is money. Then he says, but also this one has money. But also, now you just see somebody whose purpose is just money. And that's how he is. And of course, he's not a believer, so I didn't expect any better. Then he's telling me, he has all these ideas. Now, you as a, don't be like that. You will get money while pursuing the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. And it will be better money than that one. Amen. It will be better. You just pursue the purpose. There is nobody who, in God's purpose, there is poverty for you, awaiting you. There is nobody. There is none. It is all the same wealth. So, then after the elections, he came and told me, Omanye, I saw you, but you know, now I think now is the best time you go and talk to Muzee. Eh? They can give you something. There is money. Now, I said, are you sure? I said, you know now, I just said, hey, but how do I meet him? He said, there's over a good one. Now, I was just playing along. So he says, I can take you. And he started throwing all these names of people whom he apparently knows in the system, whom he can take. I can take you to so-and-so, and then there so-and-so takes you to other. Well, how do you never know? They can give you something. Now, you see, like there is nothing as sad as a purposeless life. Like just purposeless, you're there. Like it is sad. Don't be like that. Praise the Lord. Don't be like what? You will get everything you ever want while pursuing the purpose of God. Everything, and even more than you can ever imagine when you're pursuing the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. Amen? That's why the scripture says, one thing I desired when I came to the Lord, that I may be dwell in his house. One thing, not many things. But anyway, he says, but the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day, when now you're absolutely sure. Then says verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now, this is absolutely true when you are not pursuing the purpose of God. You remember the scripture which says that all things work together for good for those who love God and accord according to his purpose. The purpose there, it doesn't just say those who love God. It says those who accord according to his what? His purpose. Now, when you're pursuing his purpose and accord according to his purpose, every mistake you make works out for good. There is nothing that brings you down. Even when you make the silliest mistake, somehow God makes it what? Work out for good. Because you are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. Now here, the wicked, not pursuing the purpose of God, you can see that there is money here. There is money here. There is money here and what? And it says they never know when they stumble. E.g., I wish you knew where that guy is now. Stumble. 1 minute, you seem to be up and going somewhere, and the next minute, you've stumbled. And at some stage, you were... And now that's the thing about the world. The world is very unforgiving, man. Somebody appears to be doing very well, things are moving on well, and the next minute, they are down, 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 down. Dongo. Like on the ground, man. But now, in this path of pursuing the purpose of God, everything becomes brighter. There is no down. There is no, like, as long as you pursue the purpose of God, like, you can be sure that it is going to get better and better. At the least, if you maybe miss it here and there, you will stagnate. But there is no going down. Praise the Lord. And even when you stagnate, you find out why you stagnated, you sort it, you start going back up. Now, he says that the wicked don't know what when they stumble. Go ahead. Verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Okay? Do not let them depart from... Now, these are very important things. Incline. Listen to my words. Incline your ear. Now, I know one thing for sure, that everybody has their ear inclined towards something. Something which they are interested in. There is nobody whose ear is straight, that I receive this the same as I receive this. No. Have you ever seen people who incline their ear to gossip? You'll come and tell them scripture, and you can really see that they are not like, hey, where does it say? Hey, okay, yeah, yeah. They say, but did you hear this? Now, and you can see that it has been built as an interest inside them, that they will always incline their ear towards it. Now, it says, incline your ear, because your ear is always inclined one way or the other. Okay? Now, he says, incline your ear to my words. That means what I told you at the beginning. You can force your ear to be inclined in a certain way. For instance, there was a... let me tell you, the thing I learned about interests is that you can change them. And in changing them, you can change your life. I remember there was a friend of mine when I used to be a sports journalist. This friend of mine was he was a journalist, but he used to cover news and so on. So he was not interested in football. Then we convinced him, come, let's go and watch. Come, let's go and watch football. What? Those days would go to Nachivuo down, you know, go down. Come, we go and watch football. We go and watch football. So one day, Prince was playing. So we convinced him, so he came to watch. Then the next time Cranes was playing, he said, let's go. Then the next thing I knew, after like 1 year, the man was working in Nairobi and Cranes was playing in Nambole. The guy took a flight to come and watch Cranes. And this is somebody who had zero interest in football, zero interest. He said, Joseph, buy for me a ticket. I'm arriving at this time. Make sure you get for me a ticket. And then I remembered how he used to be so aloof. I said, people can change. Now imagine if you turned your aloofness towards the word of God into this, inclining your ear towards your sayings. No, because I know you are aloof to the word of God. Some of you think that you can, as I say, feed your body 3 good meals a day and feed your spirit 1 cold snack every week. So the only time you actually ever get to see the Bible is when you are either in fellowship and you see the scriptures there. Your ear is totally not inclined. It is inclined somewhere. And now let me tell you, if it's not inclined towards the word of God, it's inclined somewhere else. That's for sure. Everyone has their ear inclined. It's either inclined towards gossip, it's inclined towards this, inclined towards entertainment. Now there are people who are inclined towards jokes. They are the king of memes. Like, they have every funny meme there is. Then they are kings of TikTok. Every stupid video on TikTok, they what? They are the first ones to have it. Now, and they expect to... Let me tell you, don't deceive yourselves. If you really want progress in life, you are going to change certain habits. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? There are certain habits you are going to change if you really want progress. It's going to cost you something. You're not going to get it, you know, in a laissez-faire way. Anyhow, give attention to my words. Now, just say attention to my words. Incline your ear towards my sayings. Go ahead. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, these are very powerful things. Imagine says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Somewhere. Okay? Hang them in the bathroom. Or whatever, you know, or in the fridge. Or the... But you know, somehow, if you really want something and you're trying to, you can keep it in front of your eyes and keep it there. And don't let, then it says, and keep it in the midst of your heart. So during the day when you're walking, when you're going someplace or trying to do something, the one thing which is inside your heart is how you're meditating on this thing. Now, if I told you that in 6 months that would make you live a life of abundance, would you do it? The answer is yes, it would make you live a life of abundance. If you actually did what I'm telling you to do. And really incline your heart and dwell in that place. Don't move away from there. Dwell in it. Even when your wallet is empty, dwell in the place of abundance. It's like a metaverse. Okay? The metaverse of God's word. This is who you are according to the word of God. Now the reality outside here ceases to matter. Until eventually the reality of God's word comes and affects the reality outside. And then you start living that life that you've been only having in the inside of you. Anyhow. It says, don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Then it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, this is what I was telling you earlier there about guarding your heart from certain things. Because those things I tell you, unforgiveness, malice, and all, those are sicknesses of the heart. And when somebody becomes them, they become them. And how does somebody become a bitter person? I've seen that, for instance, even with, let's say, I've seen it, how people become bitter. And there's an example I like giving. First, I'll give the negative one. Of somebody who, a lady, meets some guy. She thinks he's going to be somebody important in her life. Then the guy turns out to be a joker. And then she lives, but with a bitter heart. Then it happens again. Then she lives with a more bitter heart. Now, that's the travesty of this, is eventually that person is not bitter with Ronald and Robert who messed her up. they become bitter with everybody. I'm giving an example. These ones don't mess people up. I'm hoping. Okay. Especially Ronald looks like like somebody who can mess people up. Anyway, so now, so you're not angry with the people who messed you up. Now you're angry, you're bitter with everybody. Now you're angry, bitter. And you meant people like that. Eh? Like, oh, man, yeah, I don't want what. You know, men are fake, men are all this. One. And it came from one or two bad experiences. And people did not guard their heart. Now here is the point. People who end up well, were also messed up. Because that's how the field is. The field of love is full of what? Of such things. Who do you think you are to go there and just and hit the bull's eye the first time? Eh? If you are to hit the bull's eye, you will first hit. Eh? Now, like the other day, we were playing darts at office. Eh? Darts at the fun day. Eh? Then some people are even throwing the thing off the board. And then until we told the children to move away. Get away from it. Now so that's how everything is. Now, you start in a bad place, but now you see, if you guard your heart and say, okay, this didn't work out, this is, but no, I still expect something good happened. Praise the Lord. And I know some lady, and this one, I have never seen somebody like that. She quanjured and the man let her down. After quanjured. One actually almost left her just before the wedding. Now that some of you, that would be the end of your life. Completely the end of your life. Because you don't know how to guard your what? Your heart. Do you know what this lady was like? Oh, no, she was so happy. She was happy. She was a bridesmaid at everyone's wedding. She was celebrating other people's wedding, going and taking dresses to, you know, what? She did not let it get to her whatsoever. And eventually she got... Now, I'm telling you this because the people who knew their circles told me this. That she got the best man in their circles. Like that one, everyone wanted him and she's the one who got him. But after she has been abandoned at the altar twice, but she guarded her heart. She says, I'm not going to let this affect me. Now, even men, now there was I remember when actually Prophet Michael Chiganda is the one who told me, he went to prison and used to do prison's ministry. So he met this man who was serving, who was on death row in upper prison. So, and the man was born again there and what? So he told him, how did you end up here? What happened? So the man said that he used to go to some pub called Sachs Pub. It was somewhere around Rome Street. There was a time it used to, you know, but some of you were not yet born. You were born here just pretending. Now even Abraham will pretend he wasn't born. Yet you may find he was one of the patrons. Anyway, so now the guy used to. So one day he went and gave a waitress money. I think it was 20k. That time 20k was the biggest note. There was no 50k to get him. I think she just, you know, those things of order with cash. So she just took off and took his money. And he could not identify her. So he ended up, you know, losing his money. Now it really got to him. Very, very bad they got to him. Now he became angry. How can this chick mess me up? He said, now he's telling, he told this to Prophet Michael Chiganda. Like, he meditated on how angry he was and how that chick had messed him up for so long. Then now, another time he went there. Now when he went there, I think he got some lady and a waitress also, and I think gave her money and something similar. I think either she brought back this balance or what. Now with all this anger that had piled up, the man just, he was a soldier. He just got his gun and he shot down 9 people, dead. Now, so you're telling me when you look at the man, he doesn't look like a murderer. You see, eh? You can see somebody, this man doesn't look like, but you see, he did not guard his heart from that thing. And he let it pile up and pile up. Let me tell you, you can do anything if you don't learn how to guard your heart. You can do things which will even shock you. If you don't learn how to just let it go and say, ah, that happened, went. I know people who have cut somebody because of what? Of And you look at them there. I even met some of them when I was in prison. One of them was the person I was, you know. They told me, he did not tell me himself. He chopped off his girlfriend's head. He got 20 years. He's left with one. But you look at him and say, what did this? This person doesn't look like a murderer. My dear, if you don't learn how to guard your heart, things can pile up on you, pile up on you. The next thing, you do something which you never thought you'd ever do. Because you did not, something happened, which happens to everybody. These things happen to everybody, isn't it? Which happens to everybody, and you don't just let it go. You never learned how to guard your heart. And say, you know what? Okay, this really has messed me up, but I'm not going to let it get to me, get through to me. So you just let it pass. And then the next time something like that happens, it finds a clean slate. It does not find piled up anger, piled up. Now, this man shot down 9 people. It was a news item. It was in the news. Soldier shot dead 9 people at Saks pub there. Dead. Just because of not guarding his heart. And he said that himself. He said that, I wish I had not made it. But I was so angry that lady messed me up. What? You see those things? Somebody can come. Not like this mafere. A mufere can come and kufera you. And he makes you look stupid. That's the worst part. The stealing the money, you can deal with that. But there's a way they can make you look stupid. Where you even go and tell people. They say, ya kugambia atia. And then man, you get angry. You know what I'm saying? Eh? And now people will even, you know, come and pile, you know, misery on you. Then somebody comes and says, "Young Ambia, we are going to get gold and water." And then people look at you like this and laugh, and laugh, and laugh. Then now you get angry. Now, if you are not careful, sometimes the next time somebody will come to kufira you and you'll just stab them. Not you. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying, eh? You understand, eh? Now, all these things happen to people. People are betrayed. I wish I would tell you how many times I'm betrayed by people whom I trusted. Here. People whom I trust. And they betray you completely. And in a way that is so, like you could really, really feel bad. But, man, I keep it at a distance. I guard my heart. Praise the Lord. I don't want it to get to me because it will affect. Because it says, out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Every issue of life. So you had one bad date and another bad date, then that affected all your life. And that's the end of you. You'll never get married again. Yet somebody has had 5 bad dates and got married because she guarded her heart. You understand? Eh? So when the next... Because now God will even send you somebody who is the right person. Then the guy sits down to have, you know, dinner with you and you're bitter. Then he says, man, this one, eh? I have no time for this. Yet, and if you had guarded your heart, God had sent you now the right person. But he finds you when you're bitter, because you're bitter from this experience, from the other experience, from that. You can refuse to get bitter and guard your heart. And now that will determine everything that comes to you in life. Because it says, above all, guard your heart. Okay? For everything you do flows from it. Go to King James. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now imagine all diligence where you say, I'm keeping my heart. Because I do that. Let me tell you, you have no choice. Otherwise, you can get angry. For out of it flow all the issues of life. And then you no longer have good things, good vibes out of you. You're angry because somebody messed you up. Eh? People are messed up every day. Eh? People are kuferad every day. People are, you know. Meet, you know, fake men and women every day. People are what? There's a man I know who, one lady like this, that was the end of his life. She kufirad him thoroughly and took his money. Eh? Thoroughly. And she reduced him to the ground. And that was the end of him. Now he is the living embodiment of bitterness. You cross his path, he can do something to you. If you give someone like that a gun, he can kill you also. But that happens to everybody. People have been kufirad by women. Women are what? Reminds me of some friend of mine told me a story. And let me end with this. A friend of mine told me a story of what? There was a certain church. Then some guy got married. I don't know what. So he met him after the wedding. And the guy, you know. So he came and told him, hey man, congratulations, kulika what? Then the guy told him, Kati kati unkulitsa koji. They said, abakazi bonna 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 misambwa. Then he even said that one. That malaba bayimba haleluya haleluya. That temuli mulokole ya denoko. Then I wondered, man, what did his wife do to him? Man, I wonder what the wife did to him. the wife must have done something very weird, man. Bonami sambwa, man. If you don't understand Luganda, it's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that one, I don't know. I would want to meet him now and see if he still thinks that. Eh? Or if you met another Musambu along the... So my point is, these things happen. Now you have to guard your heart. Anyway, praise the Lord.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at the Watchman Ministry Grounds along Gaba Road near the American Embassy opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UGWatchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.